Good morning. Let me turn on this. Test, test, one, two. Good morning. Thank you for having me and letting me speak to you this morning. The passage that we'll be going over is in Matthew chapter 6. And it's about anxiety. North Korea, right? North Korea and its exercises. Those are some of the words that always come up around Guam. Actually, online, PDN is asking for a survey of how concerned are you about the exercises of North Korea? And I was wondering to myself, is this survey an encouragement to anxiety or not? You know, it's always a wonder, like, what exactly is the survey supposed to do and help? So all of us worry. I'm sure that you worry about various things in your life, and one of those things might be the exercises in North Korea. When I was a teacher, long ago, eons ago, on Sunday mornings, I would always worry about what my lesson plan would be on Monday. And so at church, you know, it'd be like, oh, I wonder what's going to be the lesson plan. I wonder what's going to happen. Will this student be in the class? You know, this student that wasn't the most helpful at times. And so anxiety would build as I was actually in service, sitting in my chair, listening to the sermon. So today, I'm wondering, you may be anxious about tomorrow. What are you anxious about? Maybe it's something good. You know, you're anxious about, well, how will my children grow up? Or how will I find this or that for tomorrow? So everyone worries, and everyone wants to be safe, and everyone wants to have a great future. So this morning, I want to take us to Matthew chapter 6, again, verses 25 through 34. I was told by Jeff, and I will take it by faith, that he did preach on the Beatitudes last week, or last Sunday. And, right? He did? Okay, good. All right, good. He preached on the Beatitudes, and I was like, you know, this passage in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, really resounds, or really is a great verse for me. And because there's this verse there that says, is not life more than food? It's like, wow, yeah, I think I can relate to that. So this sermon, more than anything, is also for me. And I thank you for sharing with me the meditations on this verse. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 24, verses 25 to 34. Let me read from God's word. Here we go. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither they toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day it is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord. Praise God that we have God's word. And in Jesus rules in a kingdom, or God rules in a kingdom in which he does not want his people to be anxious. If you don't get anything else today, God doesn't want you to be anxious. God didn't design you to be anxious. God doesn't want you to live life in an anxious state. This morning is not to be talking about a general anxiety disorder or those kind of things. There's just, everyone is anxious, basically. And there was a definition that I'll be going over. The outline for today is, what is anxiety? And next part is going to be, why should we not be anxious? The third part is, how can we not be anxious, or how to seek God's kingdom? So, what is anxiety? I worked before in Dallas, Texas, in an automotive shop, and there was this person that came in frequently, and this time it was more memorable than most because of what happened. But basically, this person came in to get an oil change, and I was the seller, basically. I didn't fix any cars, so don't ask. So they would come in, you know, give me the keys. I would talk to the mechanic, and the mechanic would tell me what to sell to the person. I was the conduit. I was the middle person. Anyway, so this person came in, and we usually drove the vehicle into the bay. And what happened was the mechanic came out and said, you know, I don't really have that much recommendation for the person, but I would be willing to clean their vehicle for free. I don't understand. What do you mean clean the vehicle? So went outside, we talked about it, and he showed me. Basically, the vehicle was filled so there's a driver's seat, and on this side of the passenger seat, and the back of the vehicle was filled with plastic bags. And it was filled to the brim, so you couldn't see in the back, and it was did not smell well in the vehicle. So it was, you know, we knew the customer for a long time. So it was just really troubling, like, so, it doesn't smell that good. Is it possible? Did you want us to help you clean the vehicle? And so they were storing things in their vehicle, and they were saying that I might need those later on. So basically, anxiety is, part of it is storing up things for the future, or working, toiling in things that excessively. So one part of this is habitual worrying. What is anxiety? Habitual worrying. Not just, all of us should plan, right? All of us should seek to be good stewards of our time. But we should not do it in such a way that is apprehensive or is so consumes our lives that we are not able to seek after God and worship God. Anxiety is basically excessive worry about tomorrow. And for me, it's always a wonder. You know, again, this sermon is really for me. And the thing is, I like anxiety in a way, because, and maybe you do too. Maybe you like worry because, you know, anxiety and worrying has got me to where I am today. I am ahead of everybody. I have achieved my degrees or my professional field because I have worried. So you're telling me to let go of my worry, my ability to get ahead in life. And so that might be a security blanket for you. I don't know. I just thought, these are some of my thoughts about worry. And one idea about worry also is that it divides your focus. Worry divides your focus. In Luke chapter 10, verse 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Your focus is divided, and you worry about many things. And the point is that later on, Jesus says that your focus should be on me, on Christ. And so when our attention is divided, when our attention is not focused, we tend to really focus on our own kingdom and how we can build our own kingdom and how we can be secure in our kingdom. And we no longer seek after God or know God. So what is anxiety? It's habitual worrying. It's excessive storing or excessive working to toil. I guess you can almost like, you know, have you seen those videos of preppers? So there's truth in God's word. And also, anxiety does not let us focus on God, but lets us focus on ourselves. So in the verse, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink." You know, it's very interesting that, you know, Jesus doesn't say, like, don't worry about, I don't know, like the stock market, or maybe don't worry about medicine or healing or something higher. What I mean by this is there is this person that came up with, like, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? And I think it's a guy, Maslow, his base, he says that people need to have their physiological needs met first, or their physical needs. And then after that, it's a pyramid, right? So, and they'll have their safety again after that. Then on top of that is love, belonging. After that is esteem. And then the next is self-actualization. And he put religion at the top part. Basically, he was saying, until you meet their physiological needs, you will not, you're not going to be able to meet their self-actualization or religion. But Jesus here it's so upside down, or basically he makes it right side up. He says, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? As parents, you know, is not our responsibility to our children to at least provide clothing and food? So this confuses me. You know, like, why is Jesus always messes up, you know, your idea of normalcy. He is saying, in actuality, later on he gives us the right priority. He gives us an eternal perspective, because of later on, as he continues this. Anyway, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? In verse 26. So we go in verse 26 and verse 28, we're going to be going over the second point, or why should we not be anxious? Interestingly enough, Jesus uses two things that everybody has normally, which is rationale, reason, logic, and also creation. Very interesting. The Lord was logical. He's not illogical. But he also uses very simple examples. I can see grass right over there. So if you need an example of grass, it's out there. All right, let's go. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Wow. That's like, it is profound in that the example that he gives, by the way, look, has that idea of a command, has that idea of emphasis. If you outline the passage, it would be like, look, consider, do not be anxious, and then seek. So those are the words that come out and emphasize themselves. But look at the birds of the air. And if you know any bird, they're always working all the time. Right, they're always like flapping their wings. They are not necessarily lazy. But the Lord says, look at the birds of the air, and they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And the question is, maybe as we are anxious, what are we storing up? What are we focused on? Are we saving money excessively? Are we saving up too much food? You know, when I was dieting, one of the mantras that I still need to diet. That's not the point. But one of the mantras is, like, you're not going to die. You're not going to die if you diet. You're not going to die. So, anyway. So, are you not much more value than they? So basically, God, Christ, reminds us that, yes, the birds, because birds have to be fed, and God feeds them. And yet, why do we worry? Logically, why do you... Okay, let's put it this way. You know Darwin, right? You've heard of evolution and Darwin. And so he went to he observed a bunch of islands, Galapagos Islands. And he was like, you know, there's so much waste in nature. I don't believe there's a God. Interestingly enough, Jesus says, look at creation. There is a God. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Christ is asking us, or is commanding us to, yes, he has given us reason, but also reason is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and reason, therefore, is fallen as well. So Christ is teaching us how to reason well, how to look at creation logically and rationally. And he is saying that when you look at creation, you must look at creation and see God there. Next. Which of you, by verse 27, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his lifespan? I believe I can. That's what my lie, you know, that's what I tell myself. I do think I can add one hour to my lifespan. But yet, we believe that God is divine. God controls our lives, and he has numbered our days, and he knows the number of hairs in our head, and I'm like, but I think, you know, I can do a better job than God. I think. I really do. And so Jesus is really pointing to a lot of things that are in our hearts, and he is challenging us. And really, that's why in verse 33, just giving you a peek, he's saying, seek ye the kingdom of God, not your kingdom. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your righteousness. All right. So, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his lifespan? And it's a rhetorical question, and the answer is none. So again, logic, observation. The next one, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. This is the idea of action, motion, effort. It's interesting because he didn't say, look at the birds of the air and how they neither toil nor spin. Because grass of the field looks so stagnant, or lilies of the field, they look so stagnant, like there's no effort on their part that they are that way. Yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Basically, the idea is that Solomon is the richest person that ever lived, and yet he was not even clothed like this. And you ever wonder why you buy flowers? You know, nature is really beautiful, and creation is really beautiful. And you say to yourself, how can, and a lot of things have been made by man, but really the beauty of creation surpasses. So again, maybe one question you can ask if you're going through anxiety is, am I thinking like Christ or am I thinking like Darwin? I know it's not exactly the most fair question, but you know what I mean? Basically, you're answering the question of, do I really believe God is God? Does God really exist? But if God so clothes the grass of the field, wow, grass. Okay. What can be more common than grass? It's right over there. It's green. I can see it from here. And the Lord says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I was looking for evidence, couldn't really find it, but O you of little faith is brought up maybe 5 times in Scripture. I was wondering, can I tell the tone behind that? Like, O you of little faith, or is it condemning, or is it like sympathetic? I don't know. I don't know if there's a Greek way of, or original language of finding that out. But this is basically one noun, O you of little faith. Not O you of no faith, but O you of little faith. O you of little faith. So we have little faith in our Father. And it's interesting that the Lord, Christ, tells us, describes God as a heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. Someone that cares for their children. Someone who is divine as well. So a Father that is caring. Someone, a Father that is good. And I think we shouldn't have anxiety because God knows all the things that we need. Going back to the hierarchy of needs, you know, we're thinking, you know what? God doesn't really know all my needs. That's why I gotta worry. I don't think he knows all it. I think he forgot something. He really did. And so when you go over here in the verse, where is it? Verse 32. For the Gentiles, that's all of us, most likely. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Okay, all I think is all-encompassing. Everything. So if God the Father knows the basic needs of our lives, and he takes care of the minute things in the lives of his creation, it's only logical that he knows everything else and will take care of everything else. You know, the very heart of this really begins to come to us when we ask, what do I really believe about God? What do I really believe about his capability, and what do I really believe is his character? Those things really come into play when anxiety is here. The verse, the passage before is like, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Choose this day, you cannot serve both God and money. And so in that context, it goes into worry. It's connected to our money and what we put our bank account in. So as you think about it, as you meditate upon it, how does my spending, does it show my anxiety? Does my bank account show my anxiety? And maybe the effort that I bring can reveal to me what God wants me to focus on, or what not to be anxious about. Again, O us of little faith, you know, God does not want us to be anxious. I want to be a good father to my children over there. And I get anxious about, you know, their future. I kind of wonder, you know, Micah has, we're trying to get him a surgery for his tonsils. So, so I worry about, you know, the surgery. Will he, you know, it's minor surgery. I'm sure he'll be fine. You know, you still worry, still anxious. But in our community group, we're trying to focus on the delight of our children, because they kind of delight in video games, the phone, you know. So it's like, you know, what should be our focus, though? It should be the kingdom of God and not necessarily surgery. And that's hard to show our priorities. You know, you're like, well, I mean, yes, I'm still going to pray about the surgery, but am I more concerned about my child's success and happiness, or whether or not the kingdom of God is growing in his life, and does he know the kingdom of God? By the way, thank you for teaching him. He appreciates it, if he doesn't say so. So those are some ways in which we are to observe and to think about how are we to view anxiety and how to view the kingdom of God. So anxiety, by the way, is a choice. Anxiety is a choice. So don't make it a habit of being anxious. In verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? It's interesting how much you can talk to yourselves into worry, you know, and how divided you can be. I'm really well aware of worry because, you know, practitioner. But do not be anxious. Therefore, do not be anxious. Don't choose to be anxious. You can either choose to pray, like we did this morning. I really appreciate the prayer and the emphasis on prayer. And you know, when you're worrying, why not use that time to pray? Now, don't worry in prayer. Anyway, a lot of these things, a lot of what to determine what is anxiety or what is what should be the right way of thinking about things, I think that comes from your church as well. That comes from your fellow believers, because we are not to worship God in a vacuum. We are to worship God in a community. Oh yeah, that's one of the points. Is that it is somewhere here, it's a plural. You know, like basically it's a corporate thing when you seek after God. All right. What shall we eat or what shall we drink? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So what is the solution? So Jesus uses logic. Wow. Is he the most logical man on ever lived? I know a lot of us, you know, sometimes we have this hierarchy of value, or hierarchy of, so there's like tradition, rationale, experience, and then scripture. You know, I don't know if I can repeat that in order, but basically, you know, we usually say, you know, I am a very rational person. So unless it's rational, it's not of high value to me, right? But Christ tells us that, you know, even rationality, even our emotions, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so they must submit to God as well. Just a thought on how we are to think through and how to worship God. So, verse 33, contrasting, right? But seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Who has memorized this verse? Kind of wonder the context of the verse, right? You always kind of quote it, but you're like, for most part, sometimes people, they quote the verse and they think, you know what, I'm going to quote the verse because I need all these things. Not really like seeking first the kingdom of God. It is difficult. I want to encourage you, Faith Church, that I am with you in needing the Holy Spirit and needing Christ, needing God in my life, because I worry. And we all worry, and this is the answer is Christ. It's not like, you know, more therapy, though that does help, and there is medicine, again, for the anxiety. But overall and everything else in life, you know, if Christ cannot answer deep problems, and if Christ cannot answer the needs of the people that are not getting any food, then Christ is not the answer. But Christ is the answer. And this is what he says. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So contrasting, seek first. So seek is a verb to be devoted to serious effort, to realize one's desire, to possess the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? I know we don't use kingdom a lot in this day and age. So kingdom requires a king. Matthew is mainly devoted to, or one of his main themes is the king, Jesus as Messiah, fulfilling the Jewish covenant, right? So basically, is Jesus king of your life? Our king, Jesus Christ, our king, died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again. That's how he reigns, right? He reigns in our lives because he is the one who took our place. You know, he is the one who was tempted the same as all of us, yet did not sin. That really is a great comfort to me, because you're like, you know, I'm anxious. I don't think Jesus went through this. No, he did. It says in Scripture. He went through it. Our king, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is ruled by Christ. And you wonder in your, because anxiety seems to be more of a thought, right? A thought, or it is in the realm of ideas, and it's the realm of thinking. And so Does Christ reign in your thoughts? Does Christ reign in your life, in all areas of your life? Basically, like my children, your children, does the kingdom of God reign in your parenting, in your relationship with your spouse? Does God's kingdom reign in your relationship with your spouse? In your work, does God's kingdom reign in your work, or it's just like that those two things are separate? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So the idea is prominence, right? First, seek ye first, proto, like a prototype. So that's the idea, right? It's the very first thing that you do. It's the very it's the most important thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God in your life, in your how you raise your children, in your marriage, in your work. If I miss any areas, you can fill that in. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So in parenting, how do I seek the kingdom of God or Christ's reign in my parenting? And these ideas are not of my own. But basically, so if it's my kingdom, then basically I want to control my children and they behave well, and that's really my goal, and for them to be successful in life. So don't give me trouble and do well is what I want my children to do, if that's my kingdom, right? Or God says you should seek first His kingdom. So how will my children believe or delight? It says treasure, right? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. How will my children treasure Christ? If I'm a very hard parent, will that necessarily make them treasure Christ? If I'm a lenient, not doing any discipline parent, will that make them delight in Christ? These are hard questions, and they're not, but that doesn't mean that you should not seek the answer as well. So am I the one who saves my children? No. I can't change their heart, but I sure can try, with God's grace and mercy, seek to encourage them to delight in Christ. And so the question is really, what gets to is like, well, does Christ reign in my life? Kids, you got to behave. We're going to church. You got to be like, you know, really good. Thank God they don't really understand that right now. But anyway, so you got to behave really well. So is the question really my identity, my righteousness before men, or is it God's righteousness in my life? Whose kingdom is really important? When you think through these things and you, so it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Whose kingdom am I building? Whose career am I building? There are, you know, more skilled individuals. There's like, you know, if you get this job, you get paid more. Your insurance is better here. Better compensation. It's not as hard. Whose kingdom am I building? And really, those things come into play. Because, so Jesus is not just talking about your food. It's not just talking about what you eat. But it's talking about your heart, really, your motives. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Timothy Keller is an author that I follow well, and read a lot of his books. He says that the idea for this generation is that identity is equal to righteousness. Let me put it this way. You know how you always, like, this idea here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But now our generation says that they still take the same term, but they seek their righteousness in their identity. I'm Filipino, and I'm going to be very Filipino about it. And as a Filipino, I am righteous because I am Filipino. And this is how Filipinos do things. This is how Filipino families do things. And this is how they say things. And I want my children to learn Filipino, so I got Rosetta Stone. Anyway, so I'm righteous in my Filipino-ness. But it says here that we are supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So His identity, Christ's identity in my children, and Christ's identity not my own. So I'm not justified in my ethnicity, nor am I justified in my occupation as well. I am an excellent car salesman. I'm not in car salesman. But I'm an excellent car salesman, and I make a lot of money. And therefore, because I make a lot of money and successful, therefore, that is my identity. That is my righteousness. So this verse is saying that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Does God really need more righteousness necessarily? But it really tugs at the heart. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Is our treasure in our work, in our success, in how people view us? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. One question that needs to be answered, and I think, you know, when I was thinking about this, I'm like, you know what? I don't think anybody in faith really has problems with eating. Like, I don't think they lack food. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they lack drink. I don't know. How would this apply to people in faith church? It's kind of, how will it affect them? This is a verse from MacArthur. Worry is not a trivial sin because it strikes a blow both at God's love and at God's integrity. Worry declares our Heavenly Father to be untrustworthy in his word and his promises. To avow belief in the inerrancy of Scripture and in the next moment express worry is to speak out of both sides of one's mouth. Worry shows that we are mastered by our circumstances and by our own finite perspectives, understanding rather than God's word. Worry is therefore not only debilitating and destructive, but maligns and impugns God. You kind of wonder, what was the first sin? God said something, and now humans are saying, I don't think he really said that. And I think I can do better than God. So this idea of anxiety, this idea of not seeking God's kingdom, not looking, not considering God's kingdom, is at the very heart of us. And that is how we struggle with and need the gospel of Jesus Christ to be in our lives. Now, this morning, I'm not going to try to tell you, the goal is not to have you, like, no worry on your own effort. We all need to come to Christ and say and remind ourselves that, in fact, yes, we are saved by grace through faith and this, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So the sin of anxiety, and as we deal with it daily, maybe moment by moment, you know, Lord, please have mercy on me. I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your power because I want to rule my own kingdom. I don't want you to rule. North Korea can continue its exercises. We hope they don't, but what are we going to do? What can I do? However, we need to be focused, not divided. We need to be focused on God's kingdom and not ours. It is Christ's kingdom we seek, not our own kingdom. Let us pray. Father, we ask you to give us contentment. May your Holy Spirit remind us and empower us to be content in you, your kingdom, and our place in it. Father, we do pray for those that do not have food, and do not have drink, and do not have clothes. We ask that you would put us in a position in which we would be able to provide that to them. Father, remind us of our limits and our sin and our desire to build our own kingdom. Please remind us the joy of our salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.